This is Circe Olson-Westner, the Executive Director of the Museum of the American Military Family, and this is our podcast, Together We Serve. Today, I'm going to do a phone interview with a young wife whose husband served in Iraq, and we're going to talk a little bit about what it's like. So I am speaking with Nicole Ringo and Russ Ringo. And Russ was in the Marines. And so, Russ, I wanted to say that Larry Hurtado, Wolfman, sent me a little snippet of a video that I just watched on YouTube. And it's called Iraq. Is it called Iraq and a Hard Place, or Between Iraq and a Hard Place?
Yes.
Yeah. Can you tell me a little bit about that? Did you make that movie, or are you just featured in it?
Brothers Entertainment is the company through Rex Pratt and his brother Jim Pratt that they've been working with my father. He's the national DAV chaplain now, and he was also in the service in the Navy as a chaplain. And when I came back from Iraq, they saw my footage that I had of combat in Nasiriya, and they wanted to use that to make a documentary about post-traumatic stress disorder and coming back from combat and readjusting to civilian life. And they took my footage, and I gave them a few other contacts that I had, and then I served with, and they knew a couple others, and they took everything that they could get and put it together. And that's how it started.
So this movie is movie is available for purchase, and it's out on the market now. Has it been shown in theaters?
Yes. Well, it was on the Military Channel, I believe once, about a year and a half, 2 years ago. It was featured in about quite a few, 15 different. What would you say there? Where they had it in the theater for independent film festivals.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it won about 12 awards.
Wow. Well, I definitely want to get a copy of it for our special collections library, because our museum is collecting anything that is military and military family related. Well, that's very impressive that you had the foresight to take camera and film into you know, your combat zone, your tour, and actually get some good footage. And we're glad you're back. we're glad you make it back. So let me ask you this. You were in the Marines, and you were in the Marines from 2001 to 2005, and you were serving with Nicole's brother. Was he in your unit?
Yes, two of them. We had two of them. I met them and just getting out of boot camp, and we went from Camp Pendleton to Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, where we were stationed for 3.5 years, and they were in my unit also. So I have been with them for 4 years.
So I don't know much about what they do now, but so the two brothers could go in the same unit and they could stay together for their deployments?
Yes, they call it the Buddy Program.
The Buddy Program.
I was supposed to do that with my brother as well, but he was living on the other side of the country and ended up going in a little before me.
Okay.
And they had done the same thing, and that's how we were able to stay together.
So when you were together for 4 years, that made you such tight friends that you get a unit cohesion. Is it? I hear that the Marines are very, very tight and close, and so is that true?
Yes. We stayed in contact, and we had been all over the country. I went from North Carolina to California, and her brothers did also, and we had ended up in a lot of the same areas also afterwards, and mm-hmm. we would meet up occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
How everything was going, we stayed in touch by phone. But then we ended up in Denver, and right by Denver, so it really worked out in the long run that we were very close.
So, having seen that footage, I was a little bit, you know, horrified. Just think, you know, IEDs, the truck, the tires are dangling, and you're elated because, I mean, obviously, it looked like you were adrenaline and just pumped up. But as a civilian, I cannot imagine. I'm wondering what Nicole thinks when she imagines that Russ is, you know, that's where Russ was and Russ was doing that. How do you feel? Or what do you think about what you see?
I think it looks scary. I think that movie makes me cry every time I watch it. Still after seeing it several times.
Russ, is it hard for you to watch the footage, or?
No, it isn't, and honestly, I've been, sometimes it's sporadic when I remember things that had happened there, but it's been a while, and things have been, I don't remember a lot of it, honestly, until I go back and look through it, and I enjoy that. Being able to go back and remember, because as time has gone on, I don't remember it as well. So I enjoy going through the videos and pictures, and I have a lot of a whole lot of pictures, so probably tens of thousands.
Wow.
Yeah, we have quite a bit. We were busy trying to take a lot of this footage so that, you know, we would remember, and history repeats itself, so... quite often, it's important not to forget, you know, what's going on. It's not tough for me, though.
So, what was your MOS?
I was a 0311 rifleman.
Rifleman.
And a designated marksman when we went into Iraq.
Okay. With all that photography, I thought maybe your MOS was, like, combat journalism or something.
We had a lot of... journalists there with us, which is pretty scary. So, because sometimes things are taken out of context and they can sway people's perception as to what was going on and happening. And we wanted to get as much coverage on it to protect ourselves also for what really happened.
Right. Go ahead.
It was important for us to make sure that we could get footage. But my mother actually sent me the camera on my floor so that I could, you know, get pictures for them and they could see what it was like and send it to them. And that's how I was fortunate enough. I didn't even have a camera when we went in. So we took advantage of it and enjoyed it also.
Did your command have any problems with that? I mean, in the olden days, you know, OPSEC and, you know, showing too much information was considered bad. Was the command okay with your taking the footage and sending it home?
Yes. At first, we were not allowed. We were unable to even call. We were not able to tell them where we were going, when. I don't believe we knew. We had no idea where, when we were going. And so it was tight at first on the security for that. But as we had been in there for a little while, it wasn't, they were okay with it. And when we first went in, we didn't have any cameras, some disposable cameras.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But most of the footage, the info that I had got from the first tour was on a tape recorder that my buddy Schminkowski had on his helmet. And when we were taking fire, he turned it on and was able to get all the sound, but that was it, unfortunately, for the first tour.
Wow. Yeah, that's how the trailer opens up with that, just the audio.
Right.
Yeah, that's pretty intense. So, besides taking pictures and doing what you were doing in Iraq, I'm sure you guys were very much interested in care packages. I know that the Blue Star Mothers here send care packages, and units are adopted by organizations. I know Intel out here adopted a Marine unit. And I wanted to know, when you were out there, did you get care packages from organizations and strangers? Did you feel like people were interested in helping the troops and you know, were interested in you as people, maybe not knowing you individually, but you were human beings, Americans, and they wanted to support you? Or did you not see any of that?
When we first went in on our tour, the first time, we did not. didn't receive many packages at first. I think we went in mid-January. We left January 13th. Mm-hmm. And got on ship and deployed. Mm-hmm. And then when we started getting mail around April.
Wow.
So I had, when we first crossed the Kuwait border, there wasn't much. But I had other friends getting things, other guys I served with that were getting a lot of packages. Now, on my second tour, I did. I received care packages from organizations that were very helpful. And interestingly enough, is a lot of that ended up with the Iraqis because we couldn't carry everything that we were receiving on the second tour. Mm-hmm. So it was really nice to get things, you know, toothbrushes and toothpaste and baby wipes and sometimes quilts and things like that that were made for us. And it was very nice. It was supportive. We mm-hmm. felt supported, much more so than the first tour as we had moved in a little further along in the war. And it was nice. I can't remember exactly who had sent them, but we did receive quite a few care packages, and that was nice.
And I hear that, you know, and you brought up a good point about having to carry everything, you know, around, and so you'd leave things for the Iraqi people. I was reading somewhere or heard somewhere that there's a trade, an active trade, in it's merchandise, and you know, it's out in the bazaars being sold, a lot of this stuff that we send, you know, because it's helping their economy. But we don't think about that when we're sending it. So, Nicole, Larry said that you had a nice incident in the post office when you were trying to mail a care package. Can you remember that? Can you tell a little bit about that?
Oh, yeah. I used to send packages to my brothers and a couple of their friends. I would send them 6 packages every 2 weeks. And one time I didn't have enough money to send one of the last packages, and I was trying to bum money off my friend, but she didn't want to give it to me, so the postmaster offered to pay for the package to be sent, and he gave me $20 so that I could go out and go to the movies.
Oh, that's really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you got out in 2005 then, and you guys got married, and so what do you do now?
I just completed electrician school right outside of Denver,
mm-hmm.
and that was last week, so now we're on vacation. We're hanging out for a couple weeks, enjoying this summer, and going to Lake Havasu and visiting family.
So did you use your GI Bill for that, or?
Yes, and yes, I use the GI Bill, and I do tile work. I've been doing construction since I was 12, so it's been in my family and, you know, family businesses, and I spent most of my life with that in military.
So now with this movie, is that bringing you in any income, or is it just, you know, you just donated, materials and you don't get any royalties, or is this a joint venture, or?
No royalties or anything with that. I've never received any compensation. Rex Pratt flew me. He offered to fly me to the shows that they had, the independent film festivals, and I went to one in New Jersey, which was the last one.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to the theater there, and I really enjoyed it. It was a great experience. But I just lost track.
It was a good experience to go see the films, the showings.
Oh, and I got no royalties, no. And actually, Rex, I guess he donates most of the funds to back to disabled veterans, and so it really was never about money either for anyone.
Uh-huh.
Rex says he has another successful business on the side.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
His brother, Jim Pratt, is a very successful novelist, and he's wrote several novels that are kind of romance, military romance novels.
Uh-huh.
And so with between the two of them, they wanted to work on it, and Jim didn't get on it as much as Rex did. He didn't get to do as much. Rex really was into it. He wanted to do it. He was motivated, and he supports the troops. And he kept meeting other veterans through the process of making the video, and it just kept going and going, and he kept more people to add in there. And it was a good experience. I've known Rex since I was a baby. He's good friends with my parents.
On a similar note, there's another movie out there. I don't know if you've seen it. It's called Brothers at War. And it was made by a guy named Jake Rademacher. And he actually embedded himself with his brother's units in, I think, Afghanistan. And I was just wondering if you had heard of it.
I don't believe so.
So it's Brothers at War. And so you might be interested in checking it out, because that it sounds like, and it's another one of those things where the movie is made because you want to really document what's happening and try to see it from, you know, an unbiased perspective, you know,
yeah.
Like you said, the media can skew it. So Jake is actually coming back here to Albuquerque this summer to show his film here and do a workshop on resiliency, and just to talk about the experience of you know, going to combat, into a combat zone with his brothers. So what good thing would you like to share about your time in Iraq? And then Nicole, one good thing that's come to you guys as a result of just your shared experiences?
You know, for...
Well, we're together.
Right. We're together, married, and happy with three kids, so, you know, that's one really good part about it, I think. And, you know, to pass it on to our children and all the children out there for the future, that, you know, they'll be able to see what the aftermath of war is like also. And I think that a lot of people don't really understand how much we did help the people over there, and we gave them structure, which they did not have any, and they thanked us all the time for being able to have some more freedom. I was there on the Iskan police station, on top of the police station that we had rebuilt, when women were going to vote for being able to vote. And I thought it was going to be the most chaotic day, and it really wasn't. It was very peaceful. I think it was the most quiet day that we had the entire time I was in Iraq. And women and children were happy, and they were lying down the street voting, and that was something that they had never been able to do. And to see that and be in a part of that and experience the freedom, you know, that they've been given, it's a great feeling. It's refreshing, you know, that we're able to do those things. And I don't think it's recognized enough that, you know, they did want us there also, and they were grateful for, you know, we did help. We tried to give them any extra stuff that we had. We gave the children anything that we could, even just to help their morale and help them out, the locals. And it was a great experience to not just be at war, but to see the development and freedom in that country, for the most part. You know.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's it's true. We tend to see the horrible stuff on the TV, and you know, it is, you know, obviously horrible, but there is so much niceness, so much humanity, so much little snippets of joy. The feeling that you helped change a whole mindset about women voting. You were there for it. My husband and I were on the wall, on the East German border during the Cold War, and when the wall came down, we were there, and we saw the people coming across for the first time, you know, freedom. And so we feel like we witnessed history up close, and I'm sensing that that's what you're saying. This was history you were involved in it and you were changing history, and you feel a little bit of you feel pride in that, and a little bit of you know, kind of like a father looking down at a new project, you know, or something done well. And I, yeah. So what was going on in your house, Nicole? When your how were your parents doing?
My mom was really depressed while she was staying in her room all day to watch TV, watch the news. Not TV, just watch the news. Hoping to see them on the news, following their unit. She made herself crazy, just staying up all day and all night watching the news. My dad worked a lot, but she didn't work. She stayed in her room watching the news.
Right.
And we were out just doing our own thing. I worked. I was 15, 16, and I worked to get money to send their packages.
Wow.
I was a waitress at a little restaurant.
I think it made it kind of difficult for our families while we were there, because our unit had also been in the bloodiest battle since Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, at the very beginning, just a few days after we had gone in. And so right from the beginning, it was hectic and very stressful for everybody. And then, you know, for the next 6 months, they're glued to the TV just waiting, because they've seen us on the news so many times also.
You know, I was at a restaurant here in Albuquerque when the friend, when we had two casualties, and one of them was in my son's unit, and it was an email. I'm sitting here at Kelly's having dinner, and then there's an email notification coming out, and I thought, boy, this is really horrible. But because it's instant, there's no privacy, you know? It's kind of like just right there, and you know, and I'm thinking, you know, with this instant communication, and then with my son, there would be like silence for days, you know, nobody's allowed to email in or out. And it's kind of this instant media, instant notification, instant everything, that I think that's probably what made your mother so crazy, Nicole, with this whole worrying, because everything was instant, you know? She could know instantly if there was an attack somewhere, because CNN would report it, and she would never have that luxury of thinking, you know, not knowing.
Yeah, we didn't celebrate holidays the whole time they were gone. We didn't celebrate anything. We couldn't enjoy ourselves and have fun while they were over there. You know, it's hot and they're dirty and having a hard time. We didn't.
So, how are your parents doing now?
My brother is very spoiled. Both of them are.
Yeah.
So they're her favorite. They both.
Hey, they're gonna milk it, huh?
And their baby, extremely.
Mm-hmm. Well, and your mom's back to normal, and
yeah, she is.
Yeah. So listen, I need to wrap it up because I'm running out of tape here, but I wanted to thank you so much, and sorry for the disjointedness, but this has really been interesting, and I'd like to invite you to check out our exhibit, Sacrifice and Service, the American Military Family. It's at the Nuclear Museum, I will extend an invitation for you guys to come back down when Jake Rademacher's in town, filmmaker, in August. That might be kind of fun if you want to just come down to meet him and to share experiences and swap movie stories and things like that. But I definitely appreciate your candor, and this was a very interesting interview, and I definitely want to get a copy of the movie.
Oh, for sure. We'll order a few. Send them out to you guys.
Well, thank you very much. And have a nice time in Arizona. It's only like 100 and something degrees.
Yeah, I know how nice it'll be for us.
We're going all the way to California.